It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And Daniel is diving into a difficult subject we started last week, part two this week. Who knows, might be a part three. The subject of gender identity, and Daniel trying to bring some sanity to some really kind of more and more insane thinking that's happening in this, Daniel.
Trying to make it, help us have a sound mind,
on these issues.
Confused times. So we did last week, we talked about basically, and let me just lay the topography again, that the left is trying to do, the political correctness is trying to do, is so many ways blur or conflate terms and blur the line between absolutes and relatives. And so we're talking about gender identity, and they've got us thinking that gender identity has to do with a lot more than anatomy. It includes anatomy, but it also includes my choice as to whether I want to wear boots or high heels or lipstick or suntan lotion or what kind of glasses I want. Mm. And so they talk to our children in school. We need to understand where they're blurring the line so that we can explain to our kids what part they're saying is true and how it applies and how it doesn't actually apply and what they're saying that isn't in fact true in ways that our children, that makes perfect sense, because they're trained to talk to kids in such a way that it's very convincing. So they'll talk about how, you know, you can color a tree or you can color a dinosaur any color you want. Doesn't that make sense? Sure, that's my choice. Different flavors of ice cream, different, you know, preferences as to, you know, what kind of clothes you wear. And then they're saying that's all part of your gender identification. And so the kids are saying, well, they can't tell what part of that is true and what part of that is not true. So last week we clarified that we have a term that applies to our anatomy, and that term is gender, and it deals with male or female. And then
just
we have
two. You're either male or female.
Yeah. And that term, when they say it applies to other things, that's where they're confused, because the term that applies to other things and the relative things, the different flavors and the different colors, are masculine and feminine. So we said last week, both men and women can play golf. Men and women can work for the fire department. Men and women can both be soldiers. Men and women can both be artists. But that doesn't change the fact that one is anatomically a male and the other is anatomically a female. Those are not choices that we have.
And that's where that's the beginning of the problem.
Mm-hmm. So we clarified a lot of that last week, and you might want to go back and pick up on that. You'll find the podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. And rationally, though, the anatomy and things in anatomical and things behavioral are not in the same group. Remember, we did that cognitive test last week about listing things off, lipstick, boots, tattoos, pants, and woman, what doesn't belong in the group. So anatomical things and behavioral things, they don't belong in the same group. A boy's eyes have nothing to do with whether he makes his bed or plays football. Those are choices. The color of his eyes are not choices. They don't really belong in the same conversation. Things biological and things psychological are not part of the same group. How your mind works is not the same group as what your body looks like. You just thinking like an elephant doesn't make you an elephant.
Right.
So I'm getting this information that I'm going to share now. We're going to actually go through a lot that, you know, so there, the left is saying, well, there are many gender identifiers, and we're telling you there's one. It's called gender, and it's male or female. So the identifiers are male or female. There are many masculine, feminine identifiers, but that's not the same thing as being a man or a woman. And so we're going to see how we're going to go through their actual terminology and break it down and see where they're deceiving us. So I'm getting this from a website called teentalk.c. I guess it's www.
So this sounds like an indoctrination website, and for teens to kind of get
very far left concepts. Okay. It's teentalk.ca. Mm. It's out of Canada. Teentalk at teentalk.ca is what it is. So the first term that we want to look at that they use, gender identification, and they use it to mean how you feel about yourself. To quote their words, what you know yourself to be, which is rather deceiving when you're talking to very, very young children and you use terms like what you know yourself to be. That's very deceptive because they don't really start to figure that out until they're 5 years old. And by that time, you've already taught them that they can choose whether to be a boy or a girl. And
this was never part of education, just a few years ago. This is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the thing is that notice that this also, what you know yourself to be, it elevates how you think about yourself above what your body tells you about yourself. So it's relativity, and they're trying to do away with the absoluteness of the male-female anatomy. So that's gender identification, how you feel about yourself or what you know yourself to be. That's a term that they use a lot. Sexual orientation. This is how you're attracted or what you're attracted to. And the danger here in sexual orientation is that if sexual orientation is how you're attracted to someone else, well, that could include pedophilia. And in fact, the far left is pushing in that direction. You're beginning to see the hardcore homosexual communities beginning to come right out and justify pedophilia. And it's always been a part of that agenda. But so when they say it's your orientation rather than it's a choice, they're going to have difficulty in at some point passing laws or against things like pedophilia and rape and et cetera, those kinds of things. So,
because you're attracted by that, that mean it must be good.
Yeah, it's part of your nature.
Well, this is an interesting term here, you too. Also, the danger here is curiosity.
Yeah.
Children are naturally curious and experiment.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that doesn't mean that that's what you are.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so again, they're conflating these things.
In fact, I was talking to someone the other day about how when you use public restrooms, and I think it's not the same for gals as it is for guys, but a lot of times when you're using public restrooms, that there's like, you know, one long, you know, trough
of urinals, right?
Yeah. And so this person was saying, well, where do you look? And I'd say, well, generally straight ahead.
Right.
You know, you're kind of looking at the tiles on the wall.
Right.
You can't not have a thought that the secular world would call, well, that's a homosexual thought right there.
Right.
That proves it. So yeah, curiosity when they're children.
Yeah, they take that all over the place.
As adults, it's not so much curiosity as it is sensitivity, I think.
Right.
So that's sexual orientation. The next one is assigned gender, and that's how you were born. And they use that almost as a dirty term.
You're assigned gender.
Yeah, assigned. It's almost like, do you just want to be what you were assigned, or do you want to be free to
live
choose?
A little.
Yeah, and so this— and
Be
so,
free.
They say about assigned gender, quote unquote, I'm going to say, based on the assumption that gender should match genitalia, or that your gender should match your anatomy. So they're saying this, this is kind of like tongue in cheek for them. They're saying, well, this idea of assigned gender, that's based on an assumption.
Yeah.
An assumption.
That's old fashioned.
That your gender should match your anatomy. Your gender. Okay. And then the next one would be gender binary, and this is the tradition of two basic genders, male and female. And again, they treat that as like, well, that's old school. That's that's like 2 + 2 = 4.
Just not sophisticated.
We're way up into calculus
right,
now.
Right.
So that gender binary was just an old way of thinking. And they even in rewriting the history, they'll even say, as a matter of fact, gender binary is a very Western European way of thinking, Christianized way of thinking, and other cultures have always known this wasn't true. And when they say that other cultures have always known this wasn't true, what they're talking about, again, is masculine feminine, because now you see how they've conflated the terms.
Yeah.
They're saying other cultures have known that this binary is false, and that's the lie. The truth is that all cultures realize that masculine and feminine is not binary, but male and female is binary.
Yeah. Well, I'm hearing this term even now. It's like a cool thing to be non-binary.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's transgender or not.
The next term, let's go down. The next term, transgender is another term. And this is when your gender identity, and remember how we define gender identity, that's how you feel about yourself, what you quote unquote know yourself to be, or let's just say think yourself to be. And I like to use the words for, you know, how you feel about yourself. When the way you feel about yourself, or your gender identity, as they say, is different from your assigned identity. Mm. So we can think of some examples when that might be true. So Amelia Earhart, for example, the pilot, how she felt about herself was probably not always as a stereotypical woman. That is, not every stereotypical woman don't try to fly an airplane around the world.
Particularly at that time, right.
And get their hands dirty working on motors and that kind of thing. So you could say, well, was she transgender, since her gender identity, which includes her choice to be a mechanic and be in the man's world, was different than her assigned gender. Now, what does assigned gender have to do with it? Well, once again, they're conflating and confusing. They're saying assigned gender for them means that she should just simply be cooking and
this is an area we said last show too, that I think some progress, particularly for women in their choices as vocations and other things, is a good progression in society. But perhaps that's why older societies were so afraid of it, because if women got out there and started doing men's jobs and not taking care of the kids or whatever, that just threw a wrench in the whole machine. And
well, I think it moved slowly earlier on, because there's always been a progression as societies became more sophisticated. That sophistication in society always goes along with the woman's voice being increasingly heard.
And not heard.
Well.
Or squelched.
Yes, because.
Repressive societies. Like
repressive
Muslim,
and backward societies.
Muslim theocracies.
In backward societies, that's true. In societies that progress, it always goes hand in hand with the feminine voice being heard, which is not always women.
Okay. You know,
we talk a lot about, we've talked before about how when Jesus was on earth, a lot of his temperament was what culturally would have been recognized as a more feminine.
Because he promoted women, which was unheard of.
And he promoted peace, and he promoted love, and he promoted
turning the other cheek.
Yes, a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was transgender. One more before we take our break. Two-spirited, moving back and forth between the male and female and not really identifying with either gender specifically. And so using the conflated definition of gender again, and notice that the use of the term spirit, and that exalts the kind of the you unfairly trapped in that wrong body that you're in, you see. You're a spirit. You're not a body. And so this all suggests the wisdom of previous cultures. They talk a lot at this website about the indigenous people who understood this idea of having more than one spirit. Maybe go over a bit more of that two-spirit when we come back.
Okay, well, very interesting subject. Part two this week on the whole subject of gender identity and some of the confusion that is fast infiltrating our schools, unfortunately, younger and younger ages, can you imagine being taught all these things mm-hmm. and not basic reading, writing, and rhythm. I just still can't, you know. That's a whole other subject. But if you're struggling with some of these issues in your family, you have a child who thinks that they're being told at school that it's okay for them to be the boy to feel like a girl and vice versa, and you're running up against these issues. Daniel would love to help you and your family or that person who's struggling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. Office is Kirkland and Edmonds, and you'll also find these radio shows and podcast, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators. Recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with your co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind this week tackling a difficult subject, the gender identity issue. And you've been getting a lot of what you've been going through the last few minutes here, Daniel, from a website that's geared toward answering questions for teenagers. Teen Talk, or whatever.
I just Googled. I wanted to do this this series, and so I just searched for, you know, how many genders are there, because I'd heard, 54 or something, and I thought, it's just so ridiculous. Well, I knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
They're not really talking about gender. They're talking about masculine and feminine, and how many different shades of femininity are there, how many different shades of masculine. Well, it could be infinite. And so they're saying, well, this is part of your gender. So it's a conflation of terms, and we're talking about their terms. And if you went to this website and you read these, I'm just reading a little captions out of each description. The average person would be hard pressed not to agree with a lot of this. So it's, but you have to realize that what they're doing is, it's like a shill game. It's like they've got a pea under a cup, and they're moving it around, and they keep changing the definitions, and you got to keep your eye on the shill game. And so
you left off with this idea of the two-spirit.
We were talking about two-spirited, and that is like, so you're not the gender binary, and you're not transgender. That is where you've decided that your how you think about yourself is different from your anatomy. And we gave illustrations about how, in some ways, that's a very normal thing, and it shouldn't be. There's nothing sexual about it, and then. Two-spirited, and that's, so now we're moving back and forth, or we're not identifying with either one specifically, okay? And so, again, they're using that conflated term of gender, moving back and forth between the genders. Well, you don't. You move, there's flexibility in how you express yourself, but you don't get a move back and forth between being a male and female. And so the next one then is cisgender, and that's just that's one they probably don't use very much, because that's when your gender identification, how you feel about yourself, agrees with your anatomy, or your what they call assigned gender.
So again, maybe a kind of a derogatory tone to this. So yeah. You're just kind of old fashioned.
Well, they're leaving you that choice, but they've got a kind of sophisticated term on it. Yeah, you're cisgender.
Unsophisticated.
Yeah. And the next one is non-binary. And now as I'm reading these, you're probably beginning to get the sense that they're starting to sound repetitive, because you're either one or the other, or you refuse to be either one or you're both. And how many different ways can you say that? But they're trying to make this sound so natural by conflating the terms. And so the non-binary... we talked about, the transgender, where you identify differently, the two-spirited, where you move back and forth, and now we're talking about non-binary. Yep. No, is that different than two-spirited?
Yeah. Yeah, you have no gender whatsoever.
Yeah. So this is interesting what they do with this. Your gender identification, how you feel about yourself, is, they say, quote-unquote, outside or quote unquote beyond. Notice how they use the beyond as almost as though it's like a progressive thing. It's beyond.
I'm the next phase of evolution.
Yeah, yeah, it's beyond the binary, and wouldn't that be exciting? You can be beyond. Again, this seems to make sense once you've conflated the term gender to mean how you feel about yourself, because if I could say, if I take into consideration that my culture says men should act like this and women should act like this, and I don't feel like I should act like either of those, then I could be non-binary. So you see, I could say, well, I want to behave a different way. I want to bungee jump, or I want to be the guy who goes up to the top of the atmosphere.
See, all of this seems to, again, our society is exalting feelings over facts. Mm-hmm. Feelings are good, but they have taken the lead over facts, mm-hmm. and that's where we're having problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they go on to say that this is how they make sense of it and sell it to us, that gender means how how you feel about yourself, and then they say this, that, well, then it can mean different things to different people. I mean, gender can mean different things to different people, and so the term non-binary, and they actually have the brassness to say this, it's intentionally broad so that people can feel any way they want to feel about themselves. And you see how that now they've got us thinking, we're talking about traits, and that makes perfect sense. If a guy wants to wear soft shoes, that's up to him. Or if a gal wants to not put on lipstick, that's up to her. That makes perfect sense. But they've got us thinking that also applies to their anatomy, and that those two are tied together. And
this
that's
is
the
a
lie.
Terrible impact on society, though. All this stuff. If you don't coddle this feeling, if you don't justify this feeling in me, then you're persecuting me.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, and that's where we're at currently with a lot of this.
The next one is gender queer, and that is that you're. Gender identity, again, how you feel about yourself, is neither masculine nor feminine. It almost sounds like the last one, but it's in between or beyond, or it's a combination. It's, and this is the trigger here, and I'm quoting this, it's often a reaction to the stereotype or to the traditional binary system. Now, think about what they just said. This gender queer can be nothing more than a reaction or a response to a stereotype or a traditional binary system. In other words, I refuse to do that, and so I'm going to be gender queer. In other words, it's a shock tactic or it's a temper tantrum. That's all it is. They call it like, this is just part of your gender identity, but all what they're saying here is it's actually a reaction to a stereotype. I'm going to put my foot down, stomp my foot, and say,
You're
not going to put me in a box. I'm going to be genderqueer.
This is all the ultimate form of rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the heart of this.
It is, yes.
Know? Okay.
The next is gender expression, obviously, how you express yourself, your gender identity. Or, in normal terms, and this is me saying this, how you feel comfortable in appearance and behavior. Do you prefer to wear pants or makeup or play rough sports, etc.? It has nothing to do with sexual attraction directly, but more behaviors and interests. Quoting from them, it's not tied to your cultural norm. What one culture codes as masculine and feminine may vary from what another cultural codes for masculine and feminine. That part is true.
Right.
But not male and female.
Right.
They're different.
Right.
One is the masculine and the feminine. Those are traits.
Right.
That's not anatomy.
Right.
And so, once again, it seems to be somewhat true once you've conflated the term of gender. So we've got a couple more here, and then I wanted to just kind of let you know that we're going to probably have to move on to the next show, and I am going to wrap this up in the next show and also going to bring in a biblical view. And we're going to talk about how to understand this from the Genesis 1.
Yeah.
You know.
It just seems to all be an attack on the created norms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, again,
the absolutes. That's
people don't willingly, knowingly cooperate with demonic ideas. Mm-hmm. But this just seems straight from the enemy, this confusion. Going right at the heart of of what is supposed to be a sophisticated culture. Mm-hmm. You can get sophisticated too, so sophisticated for your own good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you go down the tube. So anyway, it's a subject that's very serious. And kids are being indoctrinated with these things at a younger and younger age. So it's much of a concern. If you're concerned about this, maybe you've got somebody in your family who's struggling with gender issues, gender identity issues, and you need some help, and Daniel would love to provide that. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. It'll also, people email me through this website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows in podcast form.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.